Sunday night capped one of the most watched first seasons of an HBO series ever, Westworld. The show is based on Michael Crichton's 1973 movie of the same title. And a warning, there are some spoilers coming up. So, Jeremy Hobson, you have not finished watching Westworld.
And I'm leaving right now the studio, Robin.
Sorry. He's out of here. He's out. And you should leave, too, if you haven't finished it. Here's a clip. There he goes from Sunday's finale. Evan Rachel Wood playing Dolores, a robot we watch gaining consciousness throughout the series, is talking to the man in black, played by Ed Harris, who's trying to find a deeper meaning in a simulated world.
A new God will walk. One that will never die. Because this world doesn't belong to you. Or the people who came before. Belongs to someone who is yet to come.
Take me to him. Unlock the maze.
Mace wasn't meant for you.
What? Joining us now, NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Eric, you know, I have been assigned this because I just haven't gotten around yet to watching it.
So, I know.
But I now know that this is, as you say, just one of the greatest and most watched first seasons ever. So why? Explain what the buzz is.
Well, you know, everyone is waiting for HBO to tee up a series that will be the successor to Game of Thrones, a big budget, epic show that can galvanize viewers in the same way that, you know, that show has done for them, because Game of Thrones has an endpoint. It's going to end after the next couple of seasons. So Westworld shows up, and it is this big budget remake, reimagining, actually, of a 1970s movie, reportedly up to $10 million an episode spent on this. The special effects are amazing. The story is very complicated. And it was a huge gamble for HBO, which, you know, they were in production on the show. They had to halt production for a while. And then it finally debuts, and, you know, it has captured people's imaginations. I think critics are divided on it. I'm not sure that Westworld is going to make my top 10 list, for example, of best TV shows this year. But it certainly is the most ambitious. And I said that it's perfectly suited for the age of platinum television. It is perfectly built to appeal to very savvy TV viewers who are very used to quality television, and it surprises and constantly shifts and changes the story to keep people guessing.
Well, that's the thing. Nobody knows what's going on, apparently. So can you give us a rough outline of the plot?
Okay, so the rough outline of the plot is pretty easy to understand, which is that there's this amusement park that has been created, and it's staffed by androids, by fake people. And it's made in the image of an old West town. And so if you want to, you know, recreate, you go to this old West town and you get to be an outlaw, or you get to be a good guy who saves the town, or whatever. You live out your fantasy with all these androids sort of reenacting them, and you can shoot people, or you can rape people if that's what you're into, or you can, you know, indulge in whatever you want to indulge in. And so at some point, these artificial people begin to gain some sort of consciousness. And then sort of the idea becomes, you know, how does man deal with the fact that it has actually created life? So the whole question throughout the series has been, are these robots actually gaining consciousness? Are they becoming sentient beings? And that got answered in the final episode called The Bicameral Mind, where we found out that they did indeed gain consciousness. And the reason they did is because Anthony Hopkins' character engineered it. And from the beginning, you had the sense that he was resisting this, that he was preventing it from happening because he wanted these robots to serve the people who come to recreate. But really, that wasn't what was going on. He was leading these robots on a very elaborate journey that they had to go through to become sentient. And by the end of the final episode, a few of them have made that journey, and they are now committed to freeing their robot brothers and sisters from the bondage of having to work in this amusement park.
Wow. And as we said, we're just, you know, we're busting out. We've done spoiler alerts. But it's not coming back for a second season, though, until 2018. Wow.
Right,
you must assume you have a lot of viewer loyalty to do that.
Well, and again, you know, it's obvious this is a story that was very complex and took a lot of resources and time to assemble, So they're going to have to take that much time to do the second season. And this whole idea of the bicameral mind, if you know anything about sort of the theory of how your brain works, it's a theory about when did man actually become a conscious being, a sentient being? When did he go from thinking that gods were speaking to him in his brain and realizing that he or she was being self-reflective? And on the surface, it's a story that's been told many times. You know, there was a great movie called Ex Machina that talked about this. The Blade Runner movie, of course, is a great example of that. But Westworld did it with a detail and a level of sophistication that I think we haven't seen on television yet. And so that's what made it a really standout series for me.
Okay. Now, everybody who's had their hands over their ears going, la, 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 I can't hear you, can unplug. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Jeremy Hobson can come back in the room. Eric, well, we will see.
Yeah, I have this picture of Jeremy over in the corner with his hands over his ears because he hasn't watched the Westworld finale yet.
Eric, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure.
So here comes Jeremy. So, Jeremy, here's what happened.
No, don't tell me.
Here and Now's a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.